This is ZL6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, with the official broadcast for February 2010. Tonight, presidential comment, an NZRT life member for Silent Key, headquarters news, and a Waro update. That and more on tonight's NZRT official broadcast. Good evening, everyone. Presenting the broadcast, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF in Auckland. It's to New Plymouth we go first tonight, and say good evening to NZRT President Roy Simon, ZL2KH. Roy?
Thank you, Jim, and good evening, listeners. On the 9th of this month, NZRT lost a very loyal and devoted life member when Jerry Kilpatrick, ZL1BBS, became a silent key. For many years, Jerry gave us his wisdom and advice freely, both as a counsellor and latterly as our honorary legal advisor. He leaves a gap that will be very difficult, if not impossible, to fill. Jim will have more about Jerry's contribution later in this broadcast. A couple of criticisms I have seen recently on reflectors have been that my comments on this broadcast are mere pleasantries, and that we should go back to 12 issues per year of break-in. The pleasantries are going to stop being pleasant, and I will start imparting some harsh realities. Regarding more issues of break-in, well, you've got to be dreaming. The question should not be how many copies we get, but rather, how long can we continue to publish break-in at all? The editor has difficulty getting copy, and NZART is running out of members and money. Council met over last weekend for a two-day face-to-face meeting. One of the items discussed was the draft financial statement and budget prepared by Evan, our treasurer. This showed that, unless things improve, we will be operating a deficit next year instead of the surplus we achieved this year. In order to balance the budget, we are faced with the alternatives of either increasing income or reducing expenditure. Council is working hard to reduce expenditure. Increasing income is up to all amateurs. To date, there are about 400 members who have not renewed their subscriptions, and there are even more amateurs who do not belong to NZART. I have heard many excuses for people not joining, but the only valid one that could be made is that by not joining, you don't care if our fine hobby survives or perishes. NZART Council, its officers, and many members work tirelessly to preserve the privileges we have and to extend those we want. I have searched for a word to describe those that don't join yet enjoy all the privileges of membership, and have come up with freeloader, bludger, parasite, and some others, all of which are probably too offensive to use, even if they are accurate. I have decided, along with council, to refer to these non-contributing amateurs as prospective members. It sounds better. If you want to make changes to NZART, ensure continued participation in international negotiations, keep reading break-in, and I know of many prospective members who borrow it, have access to the web page, have NZART negotiate on your behalf with local planning authorities, and many other benefits, please join. If you want to see amateur radio as we know it, go down the gurgler, sit back and do nothing. We are now in the position where there are less than 30% of amateurs paying for 100% of services. As Winston Churchill could have said, never in the history of amateur radio have so few paid so much for so many. There will, of course, be news of what went on at the face-to-face meeting in Brayton, on HQ InfoLine, and on the web page. There will also be annual reports, remits, and very interesting articles in the next break-in. Don't stay a prospective member, become a member and read all about them in your own copy without having a guilty conscience. To finish on a brighter note, I am delighted to be able to tell you all that, following submissions from NZART, the group that represents New Zealand amateur radio operators, the New Zealand government has agreed to grant New Zealand Images temporary access to a slice of the 600-metre spectrum. Details of this new allocation will be in the next issue of HQ Infoline. Well, that's my presidential bit for this month. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Roy. The president of NZRT, Roy Simon, ZL2KH. Following is a tribute to NZRT honorary life member Jerry Kilpatrick, ZL1BBS, who became a silent key on Tuesday, the 9th of February. Jerry Kilpatrick, ZL2AOM, joined NZRT as a junior member in 1959, and on moving to Auckland in 1964, was allocated the call sign ZL1BBS. Jerry served for 2 years as president of the Auckland University Radio Club and was an honorary life member. He served 7 years on the committee of Auckland Branch 2, serving as both secretary and president, and was instrumental in arranging the gifting of the present club rooms to the branch. In 1974, Jerry was elected to NZRT Council, a position he held for 10 years, and over that period as the convener of a subcommittee on amateur radio towers, prepared and presented submissions to a number of local bodies on the important matters relating to town planning restrictions on the erection of ham radio aerials. During and after his time on council and behind the scenes, Jerry revised and rewrote the NZRT constitution. He checked many tens of branch constitutions. He drafted policies. He was the cool voice of reasoned and intelligent debate when meetings got out of hand. He was the behind-the-scenes support and provider of legal opinion and sound advice to 10 or more NZRT presidents and their executive councils. In June 1990, Jerry Kilpatrick, ZL1BBS, was awarded honorary life membership of NZRT, an honor well-deserved for over 20 years' service and dedication. This service and dedication continued for a further 20 years, and as our honorary solicitor ended only recently when, for reasons of failing health, Jerry was reluctantly unable to continue. A proud member of NZRT for over 50 years and a dedicated worker for almost as long, Jerry Kilpatrick, ZL1BBS, is now a silent key. He will be sadly missed. The association expresses sincere sympathy to Jerry's relatives, work associates, and friends. This is ZL6A. To news from NZRT headquarters, and we're joined by NZRT's business manager, Debbie Morgan, ZL2TDM. Hello, Debbie.
Hi, Jim. Following on from the president, I urge all those who have yet to renew, join, or rejoin the association that unless we can increase membership imminently, service and open hours at headquarters will require dramatic cost-cutting to survive. Please contact me if you are having difficulty finding the full annual subscription, as payment options are available. Membership to the association can be arranged on an annual basis for the nominal sum of $8 per month. At Council's face-to-face meeting over last weekend, they resolved that all concessionary memberships are to be abolished as from 1 January 2011. This means that if you are one of those members who currently fall into this category, you will receive a letter from me inviting you to pay by the monthly payment option. There are a number of you who just may find this a better way to continue to support the association. In March, I will send out a branch circular. Included in this is a form that needs to be completed by all branch committees requesting updated branch information. All branches, please return this to me, even if your details have not changed. Information on NZRT members within a branch can and will only be provided to a branch secretary. Please save me and yourselves the embarrassment. If you do not hold this position, I am unable to provide this information in accordance with the Privacy Act. If an individual of a branch requires membership status of NZRT, I can provide their details directly. Finally, in order to ensure proper process is followed, if your branch needs to update their examination supervisors, This must now be placed in writing on the exam supervisor application form with a copy of the branch minutes nominating the person or persons to the position. That's all from me, Jim. Back to you.
Thank you, Debbie. Debbie Morgan, ZL2TDM, the NZRT Business Manager. Proudly supported by the Combined Amateur Radio Clubs of Wellington, the Wellington Radio Expo for 2010 is to be held at the Knox Church Hall, High Street, Lower Hutt, on Saturday the 27th of March. Doors open for vendors at 7 a.m. and for the public at 10 a.m. Admission is $4. This includes a free drink and entry into the various raffle draws. There'll be the usual trade displays, trade sales of new amateur equipment, and trading tables of used equipment. There'll also be a demonstration of amateur digital television. That's all at the Wellington Radio Expo, Saturday the 27th of March. To international amateur radio news, and for an update, we join the amateur radio newsline's Don Carlson, KQ6 FM.
One of the world's most decorated hams has been invited to meet with the British royal family. Steve Herman, W7VOA, is in New Delhi with details.
VU2RBI, Bharati Devulapalli Prasad, announced on her Facebook page that she has been invited to speak at the Commonwealth Day observance in London on March 8th in the presence of Her Majesty the Queen, His Royal Highness Duke of Edinburgh, the Prince of Wales, the Duchess of Cornwall, and all Commonwealth High Commissioners. She says she will be talking to the distinguished group about science, technology, and society, which she says will include her personal experiences on ham radio. Bharati, one of ham radio's most prominent YLs, has won several significant international awards related to her service to society by using amateur radio. She was part of the Andaman de-expedition team that won the ARRL's 2005 International Humanitarian Award. The December 2004 earthquake and resulting tsunami that devastated South Asia coastal areas swiftly shifted the role of the DX operation into an emergency communication link with India's mainland. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Steve Herman, W7VOA, in New Delhi.
VU2RBI is active on HF, CW, and SSB from her shack in New Delhi. Her husband and two children are also licensed radio amateurs as well. Traveling by air with spare lithium-ion batteries for your HT could soon become impossible. This, as Computer World reports that the United States Department of Transportation may prohibit the transport of all spare batteries in checked luggage, regardless of their physical size or capacity. Lithium-ion cells rated at 100 watt-hours and smaller were previously exempt, but new proposed rules would eliminate the exemption. The tighter rules would affect smaller professional video cameras, along with a host of consumer electronic devices, from the PDAs to audio players and even some hearing aids. Basically, any device that uses lithium-ion cells as a power source. Computer World dug further into incidents of lithium-ion battery-related accidents reported on aircraft. It found that based on the number of batteries shipped, injuries during a flight due to battery-related accidents were about 1 in 28 million in 2008. While not very many in number, still enough percentage-wise to concern the Department of Transportation and likely prompt the proposed ban. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including W9ELK Repeater, serving Elkhorn, Wisconsin. Scientists at the Department of Microsystems Engineering and the Freeburg Materials Research Center have succeeded in developing a method for treating the surface of nanoparticles, which greatly improves the efficiency of organic solar cells. The researchers were able to attain the efficiency of 2% higher than previously expected by using so-called quantum dots composed of cadmium selenide. Organic solar cells belong to the so-called third generation of solar cells and are in the developmental stage. The world record for purely organic solar cells, in which both components of the photoactive layer consist of organic materials, is currently at 7% through wet chemical methods. The procedure to produce these new cells has been patented, and the results were published in a recent issue of the journal Applied Physics Letters. Turning to ham radio space-related news, word that an AeroSat design review meeting was held in Orlando, Florida on February 15th and 16th. The gathering was reportedly successful in identifying areas that need additional work and definition. The major items are the Max PowerPoint tracker, the interconnected board, finding ways of creating a warmer environment for the battery and power management software, and internal housekeeping software. 13 members attended the meeting and gave 23 presentations concerning the status of AeroSat 1. A write-up on the meeting can be found on the AMSAT website. More down-to-earth, a new amateur radio reverse beacon network has been established as a new way to observe and report on propagation conditions worldwide. Unlike the most DX alerting beacons that transmit at set time intervals, the reverse beacon network relies on volunteer stations to monitor various bands and report what they hear over the group's website. Currently, there are a few dozen stations involved. Some monitor around the clock, while others up only occasionally. More on the network, how it operates, and how you can become a part of it is online at www.reversebeacon.net. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Don Carlson, KQ6FM in Reno, Nevada, saying 7-3, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2010, all rights reserved.
Thanks, Don. And as always, we say thanks to Newsline for the use of their copyright material. Onwards to RO News, and its greetings and welcome to Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO.
Thanks, Jim, and hello, everyone. I hope you've all had an enjoyable holiday season. It seems to go by all too quickly. All YLs are invited to get together during the Te Puke Radio Club's annual market day at Paengaroa on Saturday, March the 6th. Meet in the usual room for morning tea and chat. This is the first YL gathering for this year, and we're looking for a good turnout. It's time to start thinking about nominations for the WARO Achievement Award. This award is given to a WARO member who has made a significant contribution to any aspect of amateur radio. Any WARO member can submit a nomination, and the criteria as laid down will be published in the next WARO bulletin, or you can find them on the WARO website. Nominations are to be sent to Lynette, ZL1LL, preferably by the end of March. There'll be a form in the next bulletin to nominate for positions on the WARO Executive for the coming year. All positions on the Executive are available for nomination, and there's plenty of information regarding them included in the next issue of the bulletin. WARO's Film a Super Memorial Contest on 80 metres is set down for Saturday the 10th of April, and Sunday the 11th of April from 0800 to 1000 Zulu both evenings. Transmission may be on phone or CW. Details are in the WARO page of the January-February break-in and also in the Summer 2009 Bulletin. And I'll give you more information in the March official broadcast. BevZL1OS needs written items and photos for the next bulletin. If you or your sponsored members have attended an amateur radio event, been travelling, or come across something that would interest members, why not write it down and send it off to BevZO1OS so we can all enjoy reading about it. That's all for this month, Jim. Good night, everyone.
WARO reporter Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO. The City of Sales NZART Conference is to be held over Queen's Birthday weekend, Friday 4th through Monday 7th of June. The venue will be Alexandra Park Function Centre, Green Lane Road West, Epsom, Auckland. Look for the full conference program and registration details in your March-April issue of Break-In. Even sooner, look for the weekend program and forum details in the next issue of NZRT Headquarters InfoLine. And remember, the City of Sales Conference website is accessible directly from the NZRT homepage, www.nzart.org.nz. Antenna restrictions and district plans remain matters that can impact on our activity as radio amateurs. Mike Newman, ZL1BNB, joins us from Whanganui with an update.
Good evening, listeners. I attended a planning hearing at the Wellington City Council on Tuesday this week, along with John Andrews, ZL2HD, from Wellington VHF Group, that's Branch 74, and David Parrish, ZL4THAC, from Wellington Branch 15. Also attending were Brian Miller, ZL1AZE, and Bob Vernal, ZL2CA. We all spoke to submissions on the Wellington City District Plan Change DPC 74. This council, Wellington, seems to be much less concerned about antennas, poles and masts than any other council I have encountered. However, it's not all done and dusted, and the final outcome cannot be predicted, but we are all hopeful of a very satisfactory result. Meantime, Tauranga City Council is preparing to issue a summary of submissions received on its proposed district plan review and will shortly be seeking further submissions. I hope to get a pro forma further submission onto the NZART website for a mass mail-in to the Tauranga City Council, but the available time of 10 days to do so is very short. So I ask you all to watch the NZART webpage for the pro forma submission on the Tauranga City Plan and support your association's submission with your further submission in either your own words or using the pro forma from the website. And remember always, keep alert to your own council's district plan changes and reviews. And that's all for this month's listeners. Good night from NZART Antennas and Planning.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Newman, ZL1BNB, NZRT's local government liaison officer. Finally tonight, it's the Branch News We Go, reporting from Christchurch. Here's Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG.
Good evening, Jim, and Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to Branch News for 2010. And we start from North Shore Branch 29, which has its next meeting on Monday, March the 1st, at the clubrooms at 400 East Coast Road in Mairangi Bay, North Shore City. Darren Utting will talk on the Victoria Park Tunnel. The next meeting of Tatahi Bay Branch 42 will be on the 2nd of March at 7:30pm at the clubrooms in Tiriti Paul in Tatahi Bay. The speaker is Fred ZL2AMJ, who will provide an interesting talk on a number of subjects. The next meeting of Hutt Valley Branch 18 NZART will be held at the clubrooms in Philip Evans Reserve at 7:30pm on Monday, March the 1st. Frank Wade is presenting an audiovisual talk on his trip to Egypt and Jordan. To Nelson Branch 26, where the next meeting is at 7:30pm on Wednesday, March 17th at the clubrooms. Pete Mundy, ZL2FSK, will talk on Arduino microprocessors, what they are and what you can do with them. Finally, to Christchurch Branch 05, which has its next meeting on Wednesday, the 3rd of March, starting 7:30pm at the clubrooms in Galbraith Avenue. There will be a mystery speaker for the evening. Well, that's all from me. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG, reporting from Christchurch. The next issue of NZRT's headquarters info line will be emailed on Sunday, the 7th of March. Now, if you've not yet subscribed for your copy of this bulletin of news from NZRT headquarters, you can do so right now. Yes, on the NZRT webpage at www.nzart.org.nz. Well, everyone, that's the official broadcast for February. The next official broadcast will be made by ZL6A at 8pm on Sunday, the 28th of March. This is ZL6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, concluding the official broadcast for February 2010. Good night, everyone. Good night now.